May these words of my mouth and this meditation of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer.
Please. Amen.
About a month ago, I got a phone call telling me that I needed to send money, and if I didn't call a particular number and pay a certain amount, I would go to jail. I handled the situation wisely. I told the person I was going to report him to the Attorney General and slammed the phone on his ear. I was sharing this story with a classmate of mine, and she told me that her father-in-law had been getting calls like that. But he had been writing them checks and sending them to a post office box. He had sent them close to $2,000, an amount of money he couldn't afford. Unfortunately, scams like this happen all the time. Daily we hear of stories of people using money power over the less fortunate and receiving money for the wrong reasons. They walk around in their proverbial robes and make great boasts about the abundance they have. They make sure that they are seen in the best restaurants and shop in the best stores. And usually, they have the big cars that make it so difficult for you to try to back out of a parking space. In today's gospel, we hear the familiar story of the widow and her two small coins. The time frame of this story is the beginning of Holy Week. Jesus is teaching about the disproportion of the wealthy and the extreme poor. He warns that the wealthy like having the seat of honor, and they would devour widows' houses. Yet, for the sake of appearance, they say long prayers. As the widow entered the temple, she went up to the several trumpet-shaped containers and put in her two small copper coins. These coins were all that she had. It was probably her whole livelihood. Being a widow was especially difficult in ancient times because honorable jobs for women were not readily available. Neither were there any resources to provide for them. Some could receive help from families or friends, but many lived in poverty. Jesus was sitting across from the temple and watched the crowd put in their monies. The wealthy gave out of their abundance. That is, they gave out what they had left after they had paid bills and purchased the necessities of life, including food. In contrast, the poor widow gave all that she had by putting all of her money into the temple treasury. The widow probably had to go without food for at least one meal. In Jesus' eyes, she gave more than all the rich people simply because she gave everything to God. Over the past week, I have been blessed to be able to attend many church services. The installation of our new presiding bishop, who is amazing, and if you haven't had to hear any of his sermons, please do. Services here for All Souls and Wednesday night Eucharist and our own Episcopal Convention held yesterday. There was a particular thread that seemed to weave through them, that the way of Jesus will always turn our worlds and the worlds upside down, which is really turning it right side up. When we hear the teaching of Jesus and the widow, he is teaching us to better ourselves, to give more of ourselves and to be true followers of God. The story of the widow's coin is not about money. It is about giving of yourself. Not out of your abundance, but out of your love for others. When I think of people who turn the world upside down to make it right side up, I think of Gabriella. Gabriella works nights. Every Saturday morning, around 5 a.m., she and Brother Roosevelt traveled to the neighborhood bakeries to pick up the day-old breads. They pack them in the back of her car and bring them to Camp Street Ministries. The items are unloaded, and volunteers start arriving around 9 a.m. to help prepare the pantry and bag the baked goods into smaller bags for the clients to choose from later. Last night had been a long night for Gabriella. Her home client had to be taken to the emergency room. She spent most of the night there. She has to run the Saturday food distribution for 15 years as a volunteer. Her eyes are heavy. By 11:30, we have already seen 90 families, which represents over 200 people. They've come to the pantry looking for food. Once the pantry slows down, she's back in her car bringing home deliveries to clients who are too ill to pick up the food themselves. I have noticed, since I've been assigned to the Redeemer, the number of things you do to keep the church and all its ministries running. The grounds are always beautiful, and everyone is always ready to pitch in. I have asked Patrick how things happen, and he told me how someone steps up and organizes it and plans it. The ministries outside these walls are extremely important to this church as well as this community. When a shopping list for Camp Street with bags were placed in NAFEX, over 20 bags of groceries returned the next week. Last week, over 200 treat bags were distributed to the people on Camp Street, with many hands making this happen. The assembly room is becoming a popular spot on Hope Street, with several new groups using the space. There are knitting groups, reception groups, and many of you have individual ministries that fight for social justice and help serve the ones in most need. In the future, Redeemer will be partnering with area schools to see what services we can provide. Also, we will be becoming part of the Rota on Saturday mornings to help distribute that food on Camp Street. Irma Bombach once said, "When I stand before God at the end of my life, I had hoped that I would not have a single bit of talent left and could say, I used everything you gave me." If Jesus was sitting down opposite the Redeemer today, watching, what would he say?